Good morning. Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Got a special guest in the studio today, a guy that I've had a long relationship with, Terry Randolph, better known as TR. Welcome to the show, TR.
Hey, good to be here, Sam. Thank you for having me.
Man, this goes way back for me, and we'll talk about some of the reasons it goes way back as we go through today's interview, but I'm just real excited to have you on the show. Let me just start. I usually save this for the end. Let me just start off with this in the beginning before we get into the life and happenings of TR. So you're going to hear TR a lot in this show today. TR, Terry Randolph, that's what everybody knows him as. We had Daryl Blair on a couple of weeks ago, and I couldn't help but calling him Shoes every time I talked to him. So most people know him by Shoes, no doubt. TR, let me just tell you this. You know, I got to know you at a time when I was in middle school, junior high, growing up, played basketball for you. I just got to say, you probably don't even know that was a turning point, a changing point in my life. Whether you know it or not, you actually got me to start thinking about playing football. And I did that eighth grade and ninth grade year. If you remember, ninth grade was at the middle school, the junior high at that time. And the confidence I gained from working with you in basketball gave me the confidence to go ahead and try out football, which I wanted to do. And, you know, really led to some changing points in my life, being able to go through high school and playing football and then getting on with Tennessee Tech on a scholarship there and where it's led me in my life. So I just wanted publicly, that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, to publicly say thank you, you know, for all that you've done for, and there's probably so many more out there, Terry, that you don't know about. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you for all that you've done for this community.
Thank you, Sam. That is one of the good things about being an old coach, is especially to hear an ex-player, someone you've had a relationship in the past, to actually say something like that about you and for you, because it really makes me feel good. You know, I had the privilege of coaching a lot of great, great young people in my career, probably the best athletes that ever came through this county. That's my opinion, of
sure.
course, but I'm prejudiced toward my ex-players, and you were one of them, and you've always had a special place in my heart, too, because we do go back to those days when we were both, you were young, I was pretty young, and just beginning my career as a coach, and you played for me, and it was just a really special time, and to hear you say that, and I have had other players say that, it means a lot to me, and thank you.
Well, you know, calling someone a coach holds a special place in my heart, too, because I know what it takes to be a coach, and I know the work that's involved when you are a good coach, and you definitely represent that. So when I call somebody a coach, it's really a word of commitment for me to them, because that really holds a high place for me. So congratulations on all that. And we're going to get back to some of that as we go forward, but we really need to jump back to the beginning. There might actually be somebody out there listening that don't know you. I don't know if that could be true or not, but there may be a few people out there, since it does go podcast and worldwide. So there may be some folks out there that don't know you. So we're going to start back at the beginning. You grew up in this area. So I want you to talk a little bit about what it was like growing up in Putnam County.
Yeah, Sam, I was born here in the old Cookeville Hospital, which was then became the library, and then it was the school board office. So I was born and hired for my first teaching job in the same building.
Wow.
So my roots run deep here in this county. I grew up here on dirt roads out on Route 9, which is Route 2, Route 9, down the Bunker Hill Road, mm-hmm. which back then seemed like a long way from town, because town was just basically the square
yeah.
that my grandpa sat around, whittled, and sold produce.
Right? Wow.
Him and other men in the community that sold produce around the courthouse square. But it seemed like a long way out at the time, dirt roads and bicycles, and that was it, just growing up in Putnam County.
So family, brothers and sisters, fill us in.
Oh, wow, Sam. I'm
a bunch, yeah.
I got a bunch, and you know them, you know most all of them. Yeah, I'm the oldest of eight. Yeah, five girls and three boys.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is something. I will not make you name every one of them, because that's really putting you on the spot. And I know all of them, but just a great family, a family that's got a lot of roots, a lot of experience here in Putnam County. So interested to know, growing up in maybe slower times in Putnam County, how does that differ for you as a kid growing up, and the advantages of that pace versus, you know, what kids are dealing with today?
Well, you know, Sam, back in those days, everybody knew everybody. We all knew, you know, we knew the last names. We all knew the families, and it was really a tight-knit community. It was small, you know, and, you know, there were country schools back then. And I went to the old Burgess School until they closed it down. Then we went to Parkview. I think that was like in, I don't know the year, but anyway, I think I was in seventh grade. But, yeah, at that point, it was, we had the old Princess Theater.
Oh, yeah.
Back in those days. And there just wasn't, you know, there was an old bowling alley back then. But there wasn't near the things to do then than as there is now. But growing up here, it's always been a great place to live. Great people here, people that appreciate you and your family and say thank you and wave to you on the street. And, you know, we didn't even know what, you know, I guess we had horns on cars, but really people didn't use them back then like they do now. But it's a great place to grow up and go to school. A lot of good memories here, and I love going to Tech. I tell my daughter all the time, it was probably the best days of my life.
Yeah,
growing up here and going to school here and going to Tennessee Tech.
So as far as sports is concerned, I know that played a big role in your whole family's life. So what did you guys do to get your feel of sports as you were growing up?
Well, you know, I was watching a movie the other day, and they were out in the streets of New York hitting rocks with a broom handle, and that's what I did in my front yard, was hit rocks with a broom handle, and you don't realize that it's good for you. It takes a good hand eye coordination to hit a rock with a broom handle, but anyway, I always loved sports, and you know, played minor league baseball over at the old Parkview field with the little green wall. Mm-hmm. It's still there, and it'll be there when I'm long gone, probably. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to hit a home run over that, and never did, and played Babe Ruth. And then in high school, I played a little bit of baseball and went to Tech and played a little bit of baseball there. But mostly my sisters were the ball players. They were the athletes that Karen played and Peggy played. And they played when it was six, you know, three girls,
right.
Three guards on
right.
One end and three forwards on the other. But anyway, I love sports, and as you know, we played a lot of softball.
Oh,
and,
yeah, golly, we could spend a whole show talking about the softball days.
But the coaching part of it was, you know, I knew I wanted to be a coach because I knew how much I respected and loved the coaches at our school. They were always special to the students, and all the kids always liked the coaches. And I guess that was a model for me, and I wanted to be like them.
We're talking to Terry Randolph, former educator and coach here in Putnam County school system, as well as many other things, including a local businessman as the years have gone by. So, TR, what interested you the most when you were in Tennessee Tech and you were trying to figure out what you wanted to do? Why was coaching a focal point in what you might be able to do in your future?
Well, you know, Sam, a lot of times early on, you don't really know what you want to major in. You don't really know what you want to do. Because when I first graduated from high school, I didn't start to Tech as soon as I graduated. I went to work for the city of Cookeville and was going to be a lineman. And I figured out real fast how hard that was. And I thought, well, maybe I need to go to Tech and give Tech a shot. And I went to Tech and changed my majors about three times before I ever got into teaching and coaching. And for those reasons, I got into that. And it was a good move for me because it was good for me when I graduated, and coaching and teaching has always been good to me here. And you interact and you meet the best people in the world with the kids that you get to coach, and the faculty and the principals that are here in Putnam County. I've always been really proud of them. We have great teachers here. We have a great school. It's a great school system here, great administrators, and I've always been proud to be a part of that.
So As you were growing up, there had to be folks that, whether it be a teacher, there had to be folks along the way that made a difference for you. You know, I could spout them off who they were for me, and you're one of them, of course. So who played a big role as you grew up into developing you into the person you are today?
Well, I'd have to say one of them would be Coach Cherry. I had Coach Cherry in high school. Great individual, and the kids love Coach Cherry. They still do, and he's a model. He's a model person, man, family man, FCA, mm-hmm. Coach Cherry, probably. I had him for study hall and PE. And, you know, I thought a lot of him and, you know, kind of wanted to be like him.
Yeah, I had.
He don't know that, probably.
So. Yeah, maybe he'll hear it on here, so we'll see. I need to get him on the show, actually, one of these days. But by the time I came through, he had transitioned over to the junior high school with you guys. And I got to, he was our defensive coordinator in football at that time. And him and Ron Chambers, you know, you coach with him also, did just a phenomenal job with those programs over there and got a lot out of the kids. But FCA was a big component of that and made a pretty big difference for a lot of kids along the way.
Yeah, it did. And, yeah, you remember Black Mountain?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody went to Black Mountain in the summertime with Coach Cherry, Coach Chambers, and the guys. And it played a big role. And we used to have the FCA meetings in the morning. And it was a really good thing for the kids and the student-athletes. Not just the student-athletes, but students that gathered with the athletes. And Coach Cherry was he was the man. He's the man that really got that going, kept it going.
Oh, yeah. And you know, Ron joined along later, and both of them have really stayed involved with FCA for a long time. Matter of fact, Noel just got out, retired probably, I think it was last year, actually. So he put the better part of three-fourths of his life, you know, into FCA and all that come along with it and helping these kids. And, you know, a lot of folks out there very thankful for all that they did along the way. So we're talking to Terry Randolph today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, in the studio this morning with Terry Randolph, TR, former educator, coach, businessman around the Putnam County area. As we come back, Terry, I want to continue on that conversation. Having folks out there that played for you, that were in your classes, not only on the ball field, but just students, you know, that you made a difference in their lives, that come back and you're able to talk to them now. What does that mean to you as far as being a former educator and getting that feedback from those folks that you had something to do with along the way?
Well, that always brings a smile to my face, Sam. You know, when I was a seventh grade science teacher teaching, we dissected frogs and earthworms and things like that.
I remember that.
We did a lot of neat things back then that I don't know if they do that now or not. But you know, I was a seventh grade class sponsor, voted on by the students mm-hmm. in the seventh grade. And I was that every year that I taught school there. So that made me feel good that the students thought enough of me to vote for me for that. And even though we didn't do a whole lot as far as that goes, but anyways, with the students, and I love the students back then, they loved me and you know, coaching was great, but you know, I had other students as well.
Oh, yeah.
And all the kids that came through the junior high school, even if they didn't have me in the seventh grade, they knew who I was. So I know a lot of people that live in the, you know, that live here because of they went through school at the old junior high school, and they still remember me. You know, and a lot of those people, I still see them, and they still call me coach.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel good.
Yeah, no doubt.
And they recognize me and say, oh, you haven't changed a bit.
So let's get a few of the disbeliefs, rumors, all the things that were floating out there when I was going through school with you. We were stated all the time that you and Winningham and Chambers were in a paddling contest. And I was on the brunt end of that many a time, to the point to where it was almost a contest for us. We wear two or three pair of jeans to school a day and see who would get paddled the most. I don't think we actually intended to do that, but I say that kiddingly. But you guys had a pretty good reputation. You as a student, you did not want to get paddled.
No, that was just part of the way of life at the old junior high school back in those days. And but you know, it was we still loved you guys, you know, but and never hurt anybody, but we got your attention.
Worst paddling I got, TR, was from Ron Chambers, and I made the mistake of walking through the hall one day and calling him Ron. That didn't go over very well. But, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, that goes back to discipline. You can have these conversations all day long right now. I'm of the opinion that's one of the things maybe we're missing, because I did not want to get in trouble and I did not want to get paddled.
You know, but you still loved your coach, though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, paddled you one minute, and then he's hugging you the next.
Well, you all had the unique ability, and so many of the coaches that I grew up around, Virgil Duff comes to mind, too. You were able to kind of get your point across in a way that needed to be, you know, call it yelling, call it whatever you want. You weren't a huge yeller, but when you did, you know, it was serious. But at the same time, when we did good, you were always the first one to pat us on the back and tell us we did good. I think that's the key.
I do too. Being able to, you know, you win ball games with discipline. You know, if you got to have discipline, your players have to understand where you're coming from, but you have to be able to love and hug your players at the same time. You know, maybe I might run your tail off in practice, and I was pretty demanding as far as the way I wanted you to play, the things I wanted you to do, but I got results, and you guys responded, and just a whole lot of love and affection and hugging, and you know, and yeah, sometimes you might grab somebody by the jersey or by the shoulder pad and get their attention, but there was never any animosity between the players or the coaches back then. It was just all about playing the game.
Yeah. Talking to Terry Randolph, former educator here in Putnam County, coach also. Along those same lines, TR, it was about respect. There's no doubt. If a kid respected you, they'd run through the wall for you, and you guys definitely got that out of. And it is about discipline, but so many times a kid that was our age at that time in a junior high, even high school kids, they don't understand what discipline is doing for them. So when you get out in the job world and you are expected to go to a job and be to a job on time and have some soft skills to be able to communicate and talk with people, and then also show them that joyous side where, you know, it's rewarding part of the work. You know, that's what you get from sports. That's what sports teaches you. And that above the wins and the losses that you guys had, and you had a lot of wins, but above that was the belief that you were training young people to get ready for adulthood.
You know, and you hear players in the pros and all over that talk about that, that talk about their coaches getting them ready for life. And you see that now. And I think that plays a big role in getting people ready for life, because it's not, you just don't walk out there. I'll never forget a friend of mine told me before I graduated, he said, TR, when you graduate, he said, they're not going to be standing out there with their arms wide open saying, hey, come on in, you have a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but anyway, that's the way it is out there. So discipline and being able to play a team sport and play for a good coach and a good role model helps. I think it does help you in life.
So let's go back to one of those situations that happened with me, and I'll unload this. And, I was playing for you in my ninth grade year and, went into a situation. I'll just be honest with the folks that are listening out there. I thought I was the hottest thing basketball wise at that time that was on the floor, which I was not, that got into the classroom, and it come to a situation. We were going into Christmas. I was starting for you at point guard, scoring, you know, doing well, dishing the ball and scoring a little bit. At the same time, we get to Christmas and my grades come in, and I was 0.5 short in one of my classes. And the teacher that was at the lead of that class, I've talked to her several times and actually thanked her. It was a situation where I was going along great, thought I was bigger than a team, if you will. And then I found out, got a lesson real quick that I was not. And you're on the other side of that as a coach. You know, how did you handle that situation?
Well, I mean, I didn't like it. You know, I didn't like losing my guard, my point guard, one of my starters, at the time, I mean, still do, you have to turn the grades into the TSSAA.
Sure.
When you're in the ninth grade, that starts, and that was the first semester for you and everybody. And anyway, it was not a fun time. And, of course, I talked to the teacher, and course. We had some conversations about it, and you and I talked about it. But, you know, you still stayed part of the team. You know, you stayed with us.
You made me.
Yeah, you stayed with us, and your name is on a plaque that I still have, and I have it on my wall, and you were still part of the team. But we probably suffered a little bit because I lost a good player. But, you know, that's part of life.
Great lesson to me, and I've got her permission to say her name, and I'm going blank right now. So it was a general business.
Miss Garrett.
It was Tish Garrett. Gosh, I'm sorry, Tish, if you're listening out there. But I've told her several times, and we've hashed this out. I was very upset at that time, but it ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me. I mean, from that point on, I knew that this could be taken away from me, whether it be football or basketball, whatever I was playing. I knew that I had to, you know, run by the letter of the law and make the grades, or it could be taken away. And it was tough. You know, that was, I went from being a focal point and part of a team to having to sit on the bench in my jeans and watch everybody else have fun. And so that was a great lesson for me. I think you guys handled it really well. And every time I see Tish Garrett, I thank her for doing that because she didn't have to. She could have easily gave me 0.5 and I would have never got that lesson.
Well, I know that she felt bad about it, but, you know, she had her standards. And I agree with her. I talked with her at the time. We talked about it and I agree with her. Even though it, but I'm glad to hear you say that it was good for you because you went on to have a great career in basketball and football and 150-pound receiver at Tennessee Tech and all conference. You just had a great career and you're doing great now.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Terry Randolph. Good morning, Upper Cumberland, and welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, again with Terry Randolph in the studio this morning. Talking about his sports career and leading into his teaching career, we touched on that just a little bit. TR, how important is it to you, or was it to you at that time? There's no doubt you were a good coach on the field, but you're also a really good teacher. You taught science. I remember that. I ended up teaching science. I don't know if you had a lot to do with that. You and Bobby Winham, probably so. I knew teaching the classroom was very important to you, as important as the field was, because you really took pride in your teaching.
I did, and that I was motivated to do that because, you know, there have been times when people say, well, coaches don't teach. Coaches coach and teachers teach. But I took a lot of pride in being a good teacher. I wanted to be a good teacher. I wanted my kids to learn, and I wanted to be part of that. And I took that personal to make sure that I was a good teacher before and above being a coach.
And I think you probably agree with me here, and I've heard this several times, but if you got a guy or a gal that is a good coach, they are a good coach, I believe they can be a great teacher, because that's what coaching is.
That's what coaching is. And of the coaches that I know out there, they're good teachers as well as being good. If they're not a good teacher, normally they're not a good coach.
Yeah, I
agree. That goes hand in hand. I
agree with that. And you're right. Coaches do get a bad name, you know, out there sometimes. And a lot of times they cause that because they work on the field so hard, you know, and do all the things they need to do for their sport. But maybe there's some probably that don't do as much in the classroom as they probably and aren't as accountable in the classroom as they probably need to be. So it's refreshing to know that, you know, there are folks out there like you all across this land, you know, that are working real hard in the classroom. Some of my best coaches, and you just said it, some of the coaches that I've had have been the best teachers also. So I think, like you said, it runs hand in hand. If you can be one, you can definitely be both.
Yeah. You know, I went to hear John Wooden speak one time when he was still coaching at UCLA, and he was a teacher. Wasn't he like an English teacher, I think? Mm-hmm. And first and foremost, he was a teacher, and it showed on the court with his players and his national championship teams that he had.
Yeah, and he said that. You know, he's a teacher first. Mm-hmm. The coach in basketball is teaching.
Yeah, I saw him at Tech. He came to Tech and spoke years ago.
Wow, how about that? I didn't even know that.
Yep.
What was your next step along your travel?
Well, let's see. I coached until I got out of basketball. I got out of teaching in 1990 and went into the business world and had a few businesses and stayed in those for, 1990 to about 2004. Yeah. And then got out of those and went to work for the state, Tennessee, I worked for Tech for just a little while for Frank.
I remember that.
Frank hired me on as a temporary full-time temporary, like a development person in the athletic department.
That sounds like a Frank Harrell title.
Yeah, Frank. Well, Frank was the acting AD at the time, and we hadn't hired Mark Wilson at the time. And actually, I got to sit in on the committee that listened to the interviews with Mark, and a great choice, obvious choice, and Mark's done a great job out there. But I worked for them for about 6 months, and they actually offered to keep me on, but I had an opportunity to go to work for TDOT for the Department of Labor. The commissioner called me and wanted me to work for them, and I thought that might be pretty interesting. As a workers' comp investigator for the state of Tennessee.
I didn't even know that.
Covered 15 counties, investigated companies for workers' comp fraud.
What interested you at that time, somewhere along the way, you became part of the Putnam County School Board. At what time did you have interest in doing that, being a former teacher?
Let's see, that was in 92 when I got elected to the school board. And I just, being an ex-teacher and an ex-coach, I just had a lot of people in the community that asked me. They thought I would be a good board member, and we needed good board members at the time, they said. So they talked me into running, and I ran, and it was for a six-year term. And I won, and that's when we built Kugel High School.
Mm-hmm.
It's time. Avery Trace expanded that, converted it to the school that it is now, with other additions to other schools, Monterey and Baxter, Jewitz, and all, you know, different renovation projects and around the county because of growth, and eliminated portable classrooms.
Yeah. I used to have one of those.
Yeah, yeah. And I totally agree that we don't ever want to go there again.
Yeah.
And I agree with the school system, school board. They don't want to go there. And you know, I'm on the county commission now, and we funded a new K-8 school that's going to be built by the Board of Education.
Good time to throw that in here. I mean, Cookeville and Putnam County has experienced probably the largest growth that we've had in a long time. As a county commissioner, how do you quantify that growth and what needs to be done in the future to build out Putnam County, Cookeville too? That's got to be a tough job, a tough discussion to deal with, but that, you know, that's what the county commission is there for. Done a great job, and Putnam County's in a good spot.
We're in a really good spot financially. We were able to bond the jail, which we have needed for years, with 400 and something prisoners in a jail built for less than 200 people. Sheriff's done a great job, and so we were able to fund the jail and the school system without a tax increase.
Wow.
Now, we did have a tax increase. The property assessment went up.
Realized the property tax.
And it was more than it is now. We reduced that by quite a bit down to where we finished up. But anyway, supporting the schools and the departments in the county. I mean, growth is inevitable.
Yeah.
Back when I was on the school board, Henry Bowman did a study and told the school board that we'd have a 10% growth back then. And that's what we'd have to look forward to. And we probably exceeded that, Sam, since then. So Putnam County's growing. The school system's growing because we have a good school system here. And sometimes they don't want to grow. They want to stay the way the way we are.
I get that.
But it's inevitable. You know, people want to live here. They want to come here. They're coming here from all over the United States. And still we have, our tax rate is still not what it is in other areas.
Right.
And we try to get the most for our money here. We try to be frugal with our monies here and keep the tax rate as low as possible, but yet at the same time fund our schools and our departments that with what they need.
It's got to be a challenge, TR, because you see places like Murfreesboro, and we remember Murfreesboro 20 years ago, and the newest boom on this side is Mount Juliet. Man, Mount Juliet's about 45 minutes away, and you're there. And even Nashville, folks from Nashville that live in Nashville are going as far as Cookeville to live and driving that drive every morning. Because a lot of times you can get to Nashville on I-40 in an hour and 15 minutes. And sometimes as you live on the other side of the town in Nashville, you can't get to work in an hour or an hour and a half. So, you know, they're realizing that drive is a lot easier. And I think that growth is going to continue and probably even increase in the near future as time goes on.
Yeah. You remember when Murfreesboro only had, the two high schools? Yeah. Riverdale and Oakland.
Yeah, I do.
And now, how many
There's a bunch.
Five at least.
You got Smyrna, Laverne, you know, all those areas that have all grown. And then Mount Juliet's kind of growing into Smyrna right there down 840. So, I mean, there's probably, I would venture to say, probably 15, 16 high schools there now. And they tend to add one a year to handle the growth that's coming into. And now that growth is shifting down to Mount Juliet. And I know in the last 5 years, they've had an increase in their school system of 5,000 students in 5 years.
Yeah.
So that Nashville is growing out. There's no doubt. And there's not anywhere else to live in Nashville. So it has to grow out. And I think we're experiencing a little bit of that beyond, you know, what's happening in other places around the country. And they look from the outside in at a place like Cookeville, coming from California and New York. And, you know, they're paying $1 million, $1.5 million for a 1,500 square foot house in California. And they get here and get an acre in 3,000 square feet and think they've died and gone to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand, you know, why it's attractive. It's got to be tough for you guys, though, realizing that that's coming.
Yeah. And Cookeville's a great place to live, too. When they can live this close to Nashville and Mount Juliet, they can be down there, like you said, and just, you know, not. It doesn't take very long to get down there now and experience all the shopping and all the food and all the things that the city of Nashville and Mount Juliet and Murfreesboro offer. But they can come back home. They can come back to Cookeville. They can live here in a great place and that has great school system. I mean, we have – well, I'm just prejudiced, but I think Putnam County is a great place to live.
You're a little biased, no doubt, but I think you're right. But as far as placement, you got Nashville, you know, you have Knoxville very close. You got Chattanooga down south. We're right in the middle of all that. So, I can't think of a better place to live than Cookeville, and I'm a little biased too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to be able to come home and relax.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to live in Nashville, but it's nice to go there every now and then.
Nashville's hard to get through now, Sam. As you know, you can't hardly get through there anymore. It's, and of course, here, we're growing here, too. We're going to get some new things in the future. Hopefully a water park that the mayor's been talking about. I mean, looking forward to that. I think that'll go over good here. I think the kids need something to do. The people need something to do here like that. I think that's going to be a good thing. And, Ricky Shelton's doing a great job, I think, with City of Cookeville. And he's doing a lot of good things, along with Randy Porter.
Porter doing a great job.
Two great guys.
Seems like you guys, even at the county commission level, it seems like you guys have gelled more here lately in the last 3 or 4 years than probably has been, from my point of view, has probably been in a long time. And that takes a lot of work, a lot of relationship building. And, you know, with Randy at the lead of it, you know, and Ricky also, that you see them together a lot. So, you know, they're spending a lot of time together, too, and that seems to have made a difference.
They work together really well, and Randy works with county commission, and I have to say that I think we have, I've been on the county commission 2 terms, and I think that this county commission is overall is a great county commission. We work well together, and we work with Randy. He's very transparent and lets us know what to expect, and he does a good job preparing, and I know that when Randy is overseeing something, and that's part of what he does, I mean, it's going to be done right. He's going to cross all the T's and dot the I's, and he's going to take care of us.
Yeah, nothing but love for both of them and the county commission. Thank you for all that you guys do. I know it takes a lot of time to really get in there and identify the needs in Putnam County and Cookeville. You guys are doing an awesome job, so thank you for that. TR, it's been a pleasure. I can't believe it, but our time's out.
Thank you, Sam.
It's been a pleasure for you to be here today. I have to bring you back again sometime. We'll continue the conversation. But thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for all you've done for Putnam County and Cookeville. It's not been overlooked, I know. And anytime I mention your name, you know, there's some thoughts out there from people that are very close to you and a lot of good stories. So
story.
I appreciate that. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Sam.